This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samu Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to 30 Minutes with GSW. I'd like to speak to us this morning on the topic distinguishing fruit. Distinguishing the truth or distinguishing truth? See, I've watched and heard last few days all over the world the way old, new, and current information tend to be at war. But I know yesterday, when I'm not fully updated, and then somebody else bring a counter information today, practically, I have a struggle. We all do. And then I argue. I say, oh, no, this was not what. And then they tell you, oh, no, this was as of yesterday. And this is as of today. And then sometimes the truth seems to be lost in translation. I've looked at the world from a very philosophical perspective in the last few weeks. You know, I used to tell myself that Nigeria, for example, is learning for a democracy like that of America, that they've gotten 200 years plus ahead, and that if we would just copy them or just follow their footsteps, eventually the Nigerian democracy will get there. I discovered this to be very untrue. I discovered that it seems America is learning from Nigeria. I'm not kidding. Look like they borrow a lot from Nigeria's pervasive democracy, and they're implementing it and following our script all the way. You know how you look at a country and you'll be thinking they are super, and then you find that they're really not super. We have a country where they have an election and all forms of stuff that I didn't even expect to see in a country like Nigeria's politics, that all of us will scream about and protest about are happening right to everybody's faces, right at the center of the whole world. And a lot of people just don't understand it. Some people just felt they just went with the flow. Well, if you look at it critically, you'll be asking yourself, how are things like this happening, right? Like, how many of us claim to be intelligent? So many. How could things like this happen in the midst of very intelligent people, and nobody has the guts to say, what is going on here? Can we please pause the process and ask ourselves some serious questions? It goes to say that in the last few years, certain people decided that the hypodermic needle theory is a very effective tool in controlling the public. That as long as it is not affecting me or affecting you, as long as it's affecting us, that all of us will keep quiet, or that we would at best begin to fight among ourselves. As long as there is no particular victim to a crime, then it will seem as if there can be no crime at all. That's quite funny. You know, when they were going to crucify Jesus Christ, the one thing that made us know that they were not at fault was the fact that we know that Jesus could have rescued himself. That is the truth. You see, I know the truth clearly. I've heard a lot of people write, oh, the mother of Jesus, how they killed Jesus, Potiphar, what is his name? That's the pilot, the role pilot played. Oh, how Barabbas was this. Oh, how this was that. I've read quite a lot. I've listened to quite a lot. But all those things were not true. The truth was clear. He could save himself. He chose not to. He said this several times, and then he showed it to us by example. He said, I lay down my life of my own will. He said, I could take it up. I could choose not to lay it down. He said, I lay down my life. It was deliberate how he led himself to the slaughter on our behalf. Now, that is the truth. You see how many people can give you a point of view about a particular issue. A lot of people can give you, oh, this is this, that is that. But when you know the truth, it settles it for you. No matter how many publishers come out with sensational topics to say, oh, how Jesus was murdered. The children have done the trial in the middle of the night. It was against the code of the Sanhedrin. They shouldn't have had witnesses that we know were rented or hired. They shouldn't have done the kangaroo court. They can say all that. And all of them will be claiming, oh, yes, we are talking from the standpoint of the law. We have the owner or custodians of the truth. But that's not true. Jesus could have protested the process. He knew the process. He could have gotten to court and tell them, no, I appeal to Caesar. Apostle Paul appealed to Caesar years later. He could have said, I appeal to Caesar. I'm also under Roman jurisdiction. I appeal to Caesar. He could have said, oh, I am not Jesus. I didn't work any miracles. You people just want to kill me for fun. He could have denied himself and save this life. There are so many options out of what he chose. He could have done a lot of things, and all of us here will have justified whatever he chose to do. I've seen people who are Christians in the Nigerian North when they were under persecution. I've seen ladies resorting to wearing hijabs and fleeing the North, Christian ladies. Wearing hijabs and fleeing the north in the middle of persecution. When they got to the southwest, I welcomed them with joy. I didn't judge them for fleeing. I didn't tell them they should have died for their faith. But if they had died, I would also have thanked God for their lives. You see, either way, they wouldn't have lost in my view. Because I wouldn't have known what denying the faith in quotes, or what not denying the faith in quotes, or what choosing to leave and choosing to stay, I wouldn't have known for real the kind of impact it will have on their life and on their walk with God. Only the individual knew. Be very careful with what you think is the truth. 99% of the time, you are wrong. As long as it is not your life, then you can be right. The Bible says only a man knows the thoughts, the innermost thought of his own heart. Somebody comes and says, oh, this is happening to me. 90% of the time, or almost 90% of the time, no man that you have given the opportunity to speak about an injustice or a work of oppression will tell you blatantly the whole truth. Give you an example. A Palestinian, I have a friend who's a Palestinian. When I was in London some months ago, he was my taxi driver. I began to talk about COVID at that time. And he said he believed that the reason many people didn't die in Africa and Nigeria was because we are prayerful. And I told him that the reason why many people died abroad was not because they were not prayerful. It was because they were placed on ventilators. This was maybe 2021. I said, if I just let them be, they would have lived. Most of them would have lived. But that you guys like to complicate simple things. And you end up killing people. You give them injections they don't need. You give them treatments that are unproven. In the name of your technology, you end up killing thousands of people instead of you just allowing things to play out. I told him that I know people in Nigeria that got in quote COVID. We just prayed for them and that was it. And we told them to remove the ventilators and let them breathe. And they didn't die. And I could point to 2030 and this man laughed. He said, oh, that's a life I've ever heard. That's a life I've ever heard. That's a life I've ever heard. How can government spend so much money on machines if they are not needed? You know, I chose to be quiet at the time. I didn't say nothing. I just felt he would get it. 2 years down the line, it suddenly calls me. Hi, Sam. Ah, said, oh, hi, Piju. Got to talk. And he said, oh, it seems you're right about the ventilator thing. I was talking to some of my friends who are doctors, and I just brought it up. And then they said, oh, the ventilators were not needed. It was an overkill, this. And they said a lot of things, but everybody was in a panic mode at the time. So you can't blame them for that. But I just want your insight on what is happening between Israel and Gaza. So now you see what it's doing. There's another issue going on at Gaza between the Palestinian and the Israelis, and I've kept my nose out of it steadily. I decided from the day it happened that I wasn't going to say a word about it. I'll just pretend as if it wasn't happening. That I wasn't going to talk to anybody. I wasn't going to teach about it. I wasn't going to. I'm just going to like I'm blind. I chose to be blind to it. I just kept my eyes away from him. But this guy would go to my website, would pour over the content, would read, and would write to me, oh, I got an insight about this, I got an insight about that. But it was bothered that I didn't see anything about the crisis in the Middle East, that I never see anything about it. So he said to me, he said, I know you are not an Orthodox Christian. And that you do not follow like Zionist thinking. But why are you quiet? People are dying. People are dying. Why are you quiet? And then I said to him, when do we stop oppression? What do you define by oppression? He said, we were in the land, and then they came to occupy the land. Based on ancient history, it has never happened in modern times that people that used to live in a land or that were dispossessed of that land would then come back years later after the land had been taken over by other people and then claim it as their own. I said, okay, I admit it is not difficult to distinguish the two. I admit that if I'm living in a room, if you have a room or you built a house, this is your house, you built it, and then you left it, then I came in and remodeled it and rebuilt it and now became my house. And I have children in that house and grandchildren in that house and great grandchildren in that house. And then your own children or your own great grandchildren now read somewhere that I have a property, or I had a property, and that the property used to be yours. And then they decided that they were going to come and move in forcefully. I think, yeah, that wouldn't be fair. He said, you see, Tom, you get it. You get it. You get it? When I try to explain it to my other friends, they don't get it. You get it? You are thinking well. You are thinking well. I said, okay. But let's assume that the right thing that was done was that that house was taken over by the council or the government, and that the government then decided that since you are now their property, the house is their property, they don't want to eject you. They want to bring in that family so that both of you can live together. Do you think that would be wrong? Since you are not paying anything and the government can decide to take you away or to put you there, he thinks about it. He said, well, I think it will be fair for the two families to share. I said, okay. It doesn't matter whether they share in peace or they share in war. Can people live together at peace? Can they have discussions? Can they come to love each other and become one? He said, oh no, Sam, you are getting it wrong. You are getting it wrong here. Our belief system and their belief system. I said, okay. What if I told you that both belief systems are lies? Then he was shocked. I said, it's true. Islam as a belief system was a lie. It was a fraud from the beginning. All you have to do is trace your history and discover, oh my God, we have made lies a way of life. We have put our ladies in whatever they are wearing. We have built mosques. We have made laws. We have killed many people. We have done suicide bombing, all to defend a lie. I said, and the same thing for Judaism. It is a lie. He said, really? I said, yes. I said, there was a time when it was true. But clearly, God said it will no longer be the way. From the moment God removed his hand from it became a lie. I said, oh, I've never seen it in that perspective. I said, yeah. So when two lies fight each other, what is the truth supposed to do? Two lies. This mother knows that the child she had is not for Mr. A. The same child is not for Mr. B. The same child is for Mr. C. But they went to court to fight for the custody of the child, and all of them did paternity tests. And Mr. A and Mr. B were beating each other up, fighting, throwing money at it. And this woman just keeps quiet. Why? Well, neither of them owns the child. You see the problem? Neither of them is the father, and yet both of them were desperate to be the father. So they spent money on the DNA test. They spent money on campaign of calumny. They say all sorts of things to each other. The only person who knows the truth will be the woman. And the man would go all out, armed to the teeth with lies, but believing that it is the truth. You see, the moment you believe a lie to be true, it affects how you behave, it affects how you think, it affects the actions you take, it affects all your motivations and all your considerations. And the basic reason will be because you have accepted a lie to be true. Sometimes as parents we do that. We can see with our eyes that our child is going wild. But the love we have for that child in our heart will give us hope that that child will turn the bed. And so we want everybody to give that child the benefit of the doubt. I read a story of a young boy who raped another young lady one time. And of course, the parents, seeing that he was like 14 at the time, defended him to a T. And then he did it again when he was 17. When I was reading the accounts of the story, I was wondering who failed who. Was it the parents of the boy who, against all hope, decided that our son deserves a second chance at a normal life? He's a teenager. He was a teenager. He made a mistake. We fought tooth and nail, spent a lot of money, treated the girl he raped, paid off the family, didn't allow him to face prosecution. He was too young. He was naive. Maybe it was something he saw. Maybe it was trauma. You know, that could be a thousand and one reasons why he misbehaved. We gave him a second chance. Try to put him in a school. Try to ensure that he lived the semblance of a normal life, that he doesn't carry the stigma all his life, only for him to repeat it again 3 years later. And this time, when he did not to get somebody to report it, he killed the girl. And now he has been caught, and everybody was wondering, why did they allow her go back into society? Why did they allow? Well, you know how life can be. We as parents are mostly blind to the faults of our children. Even when we see the fault, we will try to correct it, and then we will hope that it has been corrected. Because we just want the children to grow up as close to normal as possible, and we want the society to have faith in them. And yes, some of them do turn out right, and some don't. So classically, a parent cannot be an objective judge of his own child. That is where a lie then gets the bone to have faith. You know, like there is a lie on the table, and you have faith in that lie, and you trust in that lie, and you put your energy into that lie until you convince yourself that it is worth investing in. You must learn to distinguish the truth. The only one that can really teach you the truth and tell you the truth is the Holy Spirit. And you must first learn by speaking the truth to yourself and allowing yourself to be open to the voice of the truth. If you are doing something wrong and you refuse to admit it, every other action you take based on that thing will also be wrong if the foundation be destroyed. Once the foundation or the predication is not right, every action you take on it are all null and void. Either they are good or bad, doesn't matter. If you make a decision based on false information, you decide to vote for someone based on the propaganda that, oh, he's a different person, or he's not from the establishment, or he just spoke some English, or no matter what, either it is in Nigeria or put on or anywhere, he decided to follow somebody and say, oh, I'm going to vote for him because I've gone. If the premise is a lie, then all your belief system, everything you trusted in that person is a lie. And you will cast vote for a lie and still defend it. Why? Because it is difficult to distinguish truth. That's the world we live in now. A world where everybody has a point of view, and the truth is now subjected to all forms of propaganda. There was a saying that I read years ago, says that lies forever on the throne, truth forever on the scaffold. Always hanging the truth to die to dry and crowning the lie. It is the way of lie. I think it was one of the old philosophers that said that because he realized over and over again that people are more comfortable with their belief system, even if it is a lie, than their belief system when it is the truth. Because if the Pakistani guy, Palestinian guy, believed that Islam is wrong, then he would have to believe that his parents had raised him in the wrong religion, that all his belief systems were wrong, that his uncle was wrong, his auntie is wrong, all his family members are wrong, his belief system is wrong, and then it will put him at odds. They will now call him a pariah. They will call him somebody that is not defending the faith. They will call him all sorts of names that they call themselves, an infidel, and it may threaten his life and threaten his way of life. So because of that, it is easier for him to just believe the lie. But I have the luxury of telling him the truth. So I told him that two people are fighting, but the two of them are wrong. So, yeah. What do we do? So I'm not going to comment on two lies. I'm not going to support one in the favor of another. I do not. When people say, oh, pray for Jerusalem, those who do this are prosper, all that gimmick of Old Testament, I do not fall for it. At all, at all. I mean it. I just look at it and just say, ah, it was clear in my scriptures where God said, Cornelius, this prayer, this way of life is no longer acceptable. Go and read it in Acts chapter 10. It was there. Then now you cannot come to the Father through Jesus Christ. Send for Peter to come and teach you the way of salvation. So if Judaism was still acceptable, we will not have Christianity. God will have just ushered us into that old way. But God said no more. Why? Because the hand of man was too much in it. Yeah, a lot of sacrifices and death of animal, too much in it. It didn't save mankind from the time it was established in the days of Abraham till Jesus came. It never led to salvation. It led to self-righteousness. It was a faulty premise upon which to build faith. And so Jesus Christ said that we cannot pour old wine into new wineskin. We cannot put the new cloth and use it to patch a new cloth. So Jesus Christ said both will end in disaster. So there's going to be a total departure from the old way, and there's going to be a beginning of a new way. And we saw it in Christ, the new way. And so every time we follow the new way and we are doing things by the Spirit and we are walking in the Spirit and we are walking in the reality of the Spirit, the old way that had been abandoned because we didn't let it die. Sentimentally, we are still attached to it, maybe because of Apostle Paul's cry in his letters about his people that are his brethren, his blood, and he called them firstborn. He said, we are the wild olive tree. They are the original tree. We should not laugh at them and all the kuru kuru he said and all that. And whatever he said, based on sentiments, I have learned to distill it, to put the cry, the rallying cry of a Jew aside from the rallying cry of a Christian. Somebody can be a Christian who came from a Muslim background, and as a result of that, the person will be conflicted when it comes to talking about faith, because of the love he has for family and all that. So that is not wrong. It is just that it is not the truth. We must all learn to distinguish the truth. When we see the truth, we should buy it and sell it not. We should stay on it. All of us. When you are in an office position, your family, your marriage, you can turn your eyes and not see many things. But when you know the truth, to turn a blind eye to the truth is not right. But when you know something is predicated upon falsehood, you have every right to say, can't pay out. I don't want to be a part of it because this would be an unending cycle. Two lies fighting. There will never be a winner. You see, when you make the truth and the lie face each other, and they are both sincere, the truth will always win over the lie. The truth is self-evident. It will defend itself to a T. But when two lies are fighting, my God, there will be no end. And that's why the crisis in the Middle East will never end because it is based unto life. And I know for sure that Jesus is coming back again. It is 100% true. I have learned to distinguish the truth, to walk in the spirit of the truth, and to follow the spirit of the truth in all my dealings. So help me, God. As you go to your churches today, and as a minister with us online or here in the UK, I declare that the hand of the Lord is upon you, that you are blessed, that the spirit of truth is working in you, helping you to sift information and to know where God stands in all things. I declare that you are a channel of blessing, and everything that you touch, that you speak to, and that you see is blessed. Thank you, Father, for your answered prayers, for in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let somebody shout, glory!
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content and teachings. God bless you.